Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 83rd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Dr. Francois Akoa Mango, originally from Cameroon, West Africa. He taught high schools and university and then became a minister. He continues to be a minister here in Machiasport, Maine, since he arrived in 1971. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you are my very first guest from Cameroon, and I would love to hear about your life growing up there. What is Cameroon like?
Cameroon is, people don't know too much about Cameroon because it is a peaceful country. I grew up speaking French. My country, that Cameroon, was divided into two, one section Anglophone and Francophone. So I grew up in a French Francophone section, and it was different, very different from what many people know today. We were poor. I wore my first pair of shoes when I was 7 years old.
I 17? Went to
7 years old.
Oh, 7 years old.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to one classroom with about four grades, one teacher. And so it was very difficult.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents do?
My father was a minister. He was a minister. Before becoming minister, he was a teacher. He taught school. He was one of the first three people in Cameroon to have a high teaching degree in French. Yeah, so he became a teacher. Then after that, he went to the seminary.
And how many children were in your family?
My father had 10, and I was the seventh. Yes.
Lucky seven.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And what did Cameroon look like where you were growing up?
I remember when Cameroon has about 3.5 million people. It was poor. We had all the high school, elementary school principals were white, policemen white, the mayors, everybody, everything was white. We didn't have any African person having any high position in the society. And even when we talked about independence in 1954, it was as a dream. And when we became independent in 1960, myself, I was there. It was just a dream.
People must have been elated dancing in the streets.
Elated, yes. We danced about 3 days.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were the streets unpaved?
Oh, many streets were unpaved. Until 1954, we had only one road which was paved. The rest were bare. Yeah.
And did you live in a village or in the city?
Yes, I lived in the city when I was growing up, but by the time I came here, I was living in the cities. I was ministers in cities.
And Cameroon is home to African elephants.
Yes.
Were you in a place that was close to where the elephants lived?
About 70 miles from where I was growing up, we had elephants. And I remember once eating elephant's meat.
That would feed a village.
It was good.
Yeah, so what part of the elephant do people eat?
Mostly the best part is the trunk. The trunk is the best part to eat. The rest is tough.
What does elephant meat taste like?
It will be a little bit as deer meat. Little bit, yeah.
Yeah, little game.
Game, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Cameroon is known for exporting crude oil, petroleum products, lumber, cocoa beans, aluminum, coffee, and cotton today.
Yes.
Yet it's still a poor country.
Cameroon is poor as far as importation. But people are rich, that is a culture. We have a very strong cultural background in the society. And also, right now, people grow a lot of food. As I said, Cameroon, when I was growing up, it was 3.5 million people. But today, it is about 22 million people. I just spent 6 months on mission in Cameroon. I never saw so many young people in my whole life. The cities are full of people, and everybody seems to be eating well.
Good. Glad to hear it. Yes. It's thriving.
Yes, it is.
And so what brought you to Maine in 1971? I know you haven't been here continuously through that time, yes. But you arrived in 71.
Yes, I went to the seminary in Cameroon. After my education, I became ordained minister in 1967. Then I worked for about 4 years, and I wanted to continue my education. And I got a little scholarship, just tuition covered at the Bangor Theological Seminary for my master's in theology. Then I came in 1971, and I came with $50 in my pocket. And God helped me to be able to finish my master's there. Then I went to Orono for another master in foreign languages and a PhD in education. So I went back home in 1977. And after 10 years working in Cameroon, I came back here in 87. And I have been there since.
Yes. You've been in Maine longer than I have.
Yes.
Your dad must have been very excited to have a son who wanted to teach and preach like he did.
Yes. I was named after him, and God called me to be a minister as himself.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, thanks.
Huh. So in the 2010 census report in Machiasport, they were listed as having 1,119 people. So you are one of 630 men in that town.
Yes.
And I wonder how many of the residents in Machiasport are foreign-born, would you guess?
It is surprising that a little town as Machias, where I was the only black person, now we have another Cameroonian who is a pharmacist. He worked there. And then we have another Nigerian who is a medical doctor. And then we have another Ghanaian who is a pharmacist also. So we have three major black people coming from different background in Cameroon right now.
I think that's fascinating.
It is.
Because in Portland, I have not met Cameroonians.
Yeah.
Not that they're not here,
yeah.
But in my travels. Mm-hmm. That's great. So what was it like being such a minority up in that region?
I tell you, when I came to Bangor in 1971, I lived there for 3 months. I did not see a black person in 1971. And even they put that on newspaper, that is a black person coming from Cameroon. And I was invited in many places. People say, don't mind if my child will come and touch you or touch your hair. And so I am used to that. I am used to that. I taught schools in Washington County. I was almost the only, as I said, for 20 years I taught school. I never taught any place and live any place. Even the church I minister, I am the only black. So I am used to that. I love it.
You love it?
Yes.
Yeah. So could you tell us a little bit about your ministry and what you do?
Yes. God has blessed me beyond measure. As I said, I came here for 7 years. I went to school. Everything was paid. I have lived in houses in the United States for more than 27 years, not paying rent.
In the rectory?
I lived in the rectory. And before that, I met people who paid my rent. I've been blessed beyond measure. In my 48 years in the ministry, God has been with me. And so I would like to help other people to be able to know God and be thankful to Him. Yes, that has been my life.
And do you preach each Sunday?
Yes, I preach in my church. I have a church I've been there for 24 years, and I preach every Sunday. And some of my messages are on television.
So for our Down East listeners, you probably already know Francois.
Yes.
You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Pastor Francois Akoamongo from Machiasport, Maine. He's currently collaborating with Partners for World Health to send medical supplies to his home country of Cameroon. So Francois, how do you describe the work that's being done by Partners for World Health when people ask you about what this organization does that you've been working with?
I think I would like to go back a little bit.
Oh, sure.
I felt a call. God talked to me because I have written about 36 books about Christianity. They are in English and French. Then I found I have a call to go to Cameroon on mission to go and preach and try to bring more people to know Christ. And when I was there, I visited many hospitals. You don't have anybody living in the United States does not have an idea about how people are treated overseas. I visited many hospitals from the church, and it was miserable. And so when I came back from there, I had a burden in my heart to be able to find a place where people will be able to send medical equipments and materials to hospitals. And so I looked to many places. I went on internet, and I found this place here in Portland. It is the best place. I think I would like to see that they will help Cameroonians to get good help.
So on their website, the Partners for World Health lists their mission as this.
Yes.
It is to collect unwanted medical supplies and distribute them to countries in need, keeping waste out of local landfills, to provide medical missions to developing countries, and to educate our local community about global health. And this year, they're going to be sending 10 containers of unwanted medical supplies all over the world, some to Cameroon, thanks to your work with them.
Thank you.
And they're located on 2112 Broadway in South Portland. I would direct traffic to their website, though, partnersforworldhealth.org. They're doing rather amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
So you found them online?
I found them online, and they told me the conditions. That is, we have to be to provide a transportation and pay some fees. About 17,000, if we have 17,000, we'll be able to send the whole container or 14-foot container with all kinds of equipment to hospitals in Cameroon. And so I am looking for the way I will be able to raise that money and help and send some, at least one, every year.
That would be beautiful. So yes. These containers that are
17
feet long are filled with medical supplies, including gauze, back support braces,
beds,
walkers, NG tubes.
Yes.
And can syringe. You tell listeners where these things come from?
Here?
Yes.
I think they take them from hospitals. That is, whatever our hospitals here are not using, or what the replacement of equipment, then they give that to this world organization, and then they ship them to Cameroon, to other countries.
Yes. My understanding is that we have some policies in place in our country where if you take goods into a patient's room, even if they're unopened, they must be disposed of. They can't be taken into another patient's room. And so what was happening is we were having millions of dollars worth of medical supplies thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
And so nurses and whatnot recognized this was an egregious waste
mm-hmm.
and have gotten together and networked, and they collect these unwanted medical supplies and re-sort them out in South Portland and ship them from there.
Wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Wonderful. It is.
It's a win-win-win.
Yes.
Right?
It is. It is.
I love that. And have you been working with Elizabeth McClellan?
Yes, we have been working, trying to create some contacts in Cameroon. I just succeed to have two tickets. We will be traveling to Cameroon in January from the 6th to the 14th or 15th. She will be back and would like to go over there and visit many hospitals and meet some responsible people. And that way will be she will be able to know exactly what is needed in Cameroon. But as I said, we need money to be able to ship these things to the right place.
Sure. Last week they had a fundraiser at the center at the Partners for World Health. Thanks. And I met with Elizabeth there. Yes. And got to see a tour of the place. And she's the brains and the brawn behind it.
Yes.
They really do a lot of physical labor. And
yes.
Many volunteers who help sort the donations. And,
yes.
And I was flabbergasted. And it is only one of several warehouses.
Uh-huh.
And it's all volunteer run.
Volunteer.
So any funds that they do raise through their website or other fundraisers go to shipping this material.
Yes. And also, if something is donated toward my project, as I am a church organization, we can give you back a slip that you can claim that on your income tax.
Your tax return.
Tax return.
Ah,
yes,
very
yes.
Interesting. So
yes.
You can get a deduction for a donation
yes.
to Partners for World Health.
Yes.
Nice. My understanding is that the quality of the health care is generally quite low in Cameroon, as you've just pointed out. And there is only one doctor for every 5,000 people, according to the World Health Organization. And here in the United States, it's one in 390. What exactly are you all going to be sending over there? What are the biggest needs? And who primarily will benefit from the medical supplies received?
I think in most hospitals, they don't have even syringe. Even syringe. You have to go, if you're a patient, you have to go and buy a syringe. And so we need beds, we need a bed for the operations, we need microscopes, we need everything you can imagine, small and big. Even if we will be able to succeed with x-rays, it would be great. So ultrasounds, these kind of things. Colonoscopy equipment, they may help to be able to help people. Yes.
When I was at the Partners for World Health last weekend, they have a display and it shows the actual equipment she has brought back from some places next to shiny new equipment. And she said that some of these NG tubes and oxygen masks have been used on thousands of people, and they wash them out and use them again. And they're brown and tainted and dirty. And it made me weep. It was appalling to think that that would be used to care for someone who is already vulnerable. And so she has next to it these brand new shiny things that are ready to go, just needing the funds to ship them. I hope that the people who are interested would visit them on partnersforworldhealth.org and see about all that they're doing. It's absolutely fascinating. I'm curious about how you know who to send the shipments to. You know,
because I was born in Cameroon, and my home church is the Presbyterian Church of Cameroon. And it was the American people who went over there many years ago, about 150 years ago. They went to Cameroon and they built about 8 hospitals. They were the best in the nation when I was growing up. And so we have these 8 hospitals who have been using old equipment. And even those who are nurses in these hospitals, some of them were trained by missionaries, or they train other people who have the same kind of background. And it is a place. We have about 8, as I just said. Then we already have some clinics that the private doctors who have tried to improve the living of other people. So they have built some clinics and they need equipment. So this is where I would like to direct all this equipment I can get here to help Cameroonians. And so it will be something which will help not only Christians, but the population.
And the population there is roughly thirds, isn't it?
Yes,
Christian, Muslim,
yes,
and Native African religions.
I think Cameroon is, we have about 40% of, I would say even about 70% of people are Christians. And we have also Muslim, which may be about 30%. Cameroon is a Christian country. It is. People try to speak and believe that God exists. Yeah. And so we have a place there.
Dr. Akoamanga, what are your hopes for the future?
I think we have to have hope. There are so many problems around us, but we know that God is in control. He will use some people. That is, I like something Einstein said. He said that not people who do bad things will destroy this world. It is those who let them, who watch them doing these things without doing anything. That is, if we know what is good to be done and we don't do it, we are those who are destroying the world. And so I am inviting everyone who sees what is destroying our society to do something. Because if you don't do anything, you're responsible. You are doing more bad than people who are doing bad things. And so I would like to do my best in my life to contribute for the well-being of our societies.
I think you've been doing that for your whole life.
Thank you.
Any suggestions for listeners who might want to support this effort with help or with similar shipments of medical supplies to other countries around the world?
I think, as I just said, if you donate anything, you contribute for the transportation of this project, you should know that you are helping other people to get out of poverty and get good health. Secondly, you should know that if you donate anything using the project about Cameroon, we will send you back. Even if you send it to me or to Elizabeth, we will collect that and have your name, and we will give you a slip. You will be able to claim whatever you gave for this project and claim that on your income tax. Yes, and God will bless you.
There's that.
Be
too.
Certain that God is going to bless you.
Because
you've been blessed.
It is gratifying to know gratifying. You're helping others.
Yes.
Significantly.
It is significantly.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Francois, you're making a huge difference in the world, I believe, and with Partners for World Health, sharing so many things that we have in excess with people who can put it to amazingly good use. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
And also, if you're a Christian, I pray that you pray, ask God to help us to accomplish this project. And it is not just Cameroon. There are many other places who are suffering, and we need people to stand up and help these people to get out. And God has given you the ears to hear what we are just talking about you, so that you do something. It is your calling at this moment. God bless you.
Thank you. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest Francois Akoamanga. We will close today's program with a song he's chosen for us. Can you tell listeners why you picked this song to share today?
You know, the song Amazing Grace is a wonderful song. It was written by Newton, who was not Christian. But when he saw what God has done in his life, he was on his way coming back from Africa with slaves. And then he was not Christian, but he was in danger. And then he cried, "My God!" And suddenly the ocean became calm, and he said, "Wow, God loves me. God loves me. He still knows me." It is from then that he became Christian. And he wrote the song we like to sing, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Beautiful. Yes. Thank you so much. Feel free to sing along.
Thank you.
The earth.